Monday! Open wide dev fans! Get ready to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, Node Modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development, the hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax on this Monday Hasty Treat. We're going to be talking about some of the cool new things announced and on the roadmap from GitHub. There was a big GitHub yearly conference that's sort of like a big showcase where they show off all the cool stuff. And we all know GitHub is constantly working on cool stuff. And so this year's had no shortage of really neat announcements. So we're going to be talking about a lot of the stuff going on in there and what it means for you as a developer. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a developer from Denver. And with me, as always, is Wes Boss.
Hey, everybody. There's some really neat stuff here. Somebody sent me a link to this. And at first I thought, like, is this a real website? Because it's on, like, its own domain name. But obviously it is real stuff. And there's some stuff that we've been talking about how we would love for this to happen. So I'm pretty excited about all these new projects. We're just going to kind of go through them and talk about what we think about them and explain what they are. I think GitHub is going to be much more than a Git repo in the coming years.
Yeah. Hey, I just saw something hot off the presses and unrelated to today's topic, which is always great for us, but something in relation to one of our recent episodes. So recently we did our episode on the techniques for responsive web design. When was that? That was episode number 540. So we did a 540. Now we're doing a 540 and we're adding just a 4 more degrees of rotation in there. And here we are, or 5 more degrees. And container queries have been enabled in Firefox Nightly. We were just saying, when is Firefox going to get on board with container queries? And here is a closed issue on Bugzilla where container queries have now been enabled on Nightly. So this is totally unrelated to the topic, but man, that is great news for me today. I'm super excited about that. I would love to be able to say now is the time to start really getting hard into container queries. And Firefox was that last missing piece. So yeah. Sorry for the detour, Wes.
No, I'm into that. I'm just reading the Bugzilla thread here. It says there's only one worrying timeout. It isn't a hard thing to hang on. So it looks like the container queries is like almost ready for prime time. I think so.
And we saw that once they're in Firefox, it's go, go, go. Let's go. Yeah. Green. Yeah.
Let's go. What's the deal with everybody saying let's go recently?
I think you're like maybe a 2 years. Somebody literally just tweeted and in response to that tweet, let's go.
Let's look on Urban Dictionary.
It's definitely like a gamer thing or like a YouTuber thing. It definitely, there's like several YouTubers who'd be like just making that their thing. And then it kept going.
Urban Dictionary says, let's go. Things cringy 8-year-old Fortnite players say when they win a game.
Exactly. Yeah. It's definitely out of like gamer YouTube.
It is
culture.
2 years old. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've been hearing it for a lot longer than that. Absolutely.
Me too. But like you start hearing it, like I'm hearing it IRL now, you know?
Oh, yeah. I heard it a lot in, believe it or not, like video and lighting YouTube. There'd be like, this camera is A1. Let's go. it's just the next gen version of the same camera everybody else had the year before. Yeah, I always thought that was funny.
I can't wait until my kids are almost old enough now where you can start saying stuff like that.
Embarrass them.
My oldest daughter starting to, she called somebody a noob the other day. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yes. Like it's starting. Like, and you can tell that she's watching some YouTube videos because of the things she says. And both of my kids came into my office the other day and they said, what's that? I'm like the pointing at the YouTube 100,000 mm-hmm. subscriber button. And I said, that's my YouTube play button. They said, you have a YouTube play button? And I said, yeah.
You don't? Yeah.
And so they understand what it is. And yeah. they said, you have a YouTube channel? And I was like, yeah. They're what? Like, you're famous.
What? Yeah. My kids have no idea. My kids love YouTube, but they think all YouTube is just YouTube Kids where there's other kids playing with toys or Blippi.
Yeah.
So when I'm like trying to tell them what dad does, and it's like, yeah, but it's not that, it's not the kind of thing. I'm not like in my office playing with toys. So it's not that fun.
Oh, all right. We are sponsored by two awesome companies today. First one is Linode. Linode is a cloud computing that developers trust. They provide hosted Linux servers for pretty much anything you need. High CPU, high memory, high availability, scaling. They do all of that stuff. So if you've got a project that you need to throw up on a Linux server, Linode is for you. And they're going to give you $100 in free credit at linode.com/syntax. Thank you, Linode, for sponsoring.
This episode is also sponsored by LogRocket, which is a great place to really understand how your website is being used. Now, they really came out of the gate with their session replay tool for finding bugs, but their session replay tool is not just for finding bugs, because that would be excellent, but LogRocket is beyond excellent. They are out of this world. And with LogRocket, you get access to more than just a session replay for finding bugs, but you can surface issues faster, optimize your conversion, and increase adoption by truly understanding where your users are clicking, what they're getting hung up on, and what they are trying to do. And you can do all of this in a very visual way. You know me, I'm a visual person, so this really rings well in my brain. And it works with all the tools you know and love, any kind of front-end context that you're working with. But not only that, it also works with things like iOS apps, React Native, Expo, Android. It works really well with all that stuff too. And it integrates with all of the tools you know and love, whether that is your error reporting software, your customer support software, your A/B testing software, analytics observability, and your voice of consumer software as well. So if you want to try all of that and more, head on over to logrocket.com/syntax and you'll get 14 days for free. Thank you so much to LogRocket for sponsoring. All right, GitHub, they have a neat little URL here called githubnext.com. And githubnext.com is showing you kind of all of their interesting projects that are either in the pipeline, coming out, or have been released with a date attached to them. And not only that, one of the coolest darn things that this thing does is it has a little interface and it shows you who made it. So which of the members of the GitHub team are actually working on these tools? I gotta love that, because it's not like some faceless corporation being like, here, buy our stuff. It's like, here are the actual folks, here are the actual developers making the tools for developers that's going to improve your life and your workflow. And I got to say, well done on that regard, because that's really cool.
Yeah, there are some pretty neat projects here. I don't even think we'll go into all of them, but let's pick a couple that we're pretty excited about. I think the one that I'm most excited about is GitHub Copilot for the CLI. And this is something we talked to Jared from Bun about. Yeah. Is I want GitHub Copilot to figure out what I'm going to finish typing in my CLI. Maybe the stakes are a little higher when you're deleting something, but there is a whole world that could be done there. And the fact that I was like, maybe Warp is going to do it, you know, like I'm not sure who's going to, maybe Fig will do it. But it looks like GitHub Copilot is going to be doing it. So I am put myself on the wait list for that one.
And maybe one of you out here is listening could, you know, be inspired by this to say, hey, maybe I should try using this, see if I can get on the wait list here and give this thing a try to make something really neat. You know what I would really like, Wes, would be a GitHub Copilot for recipes. You just start typing a recipe and then it finishes it for you. That'd be sweet.
You know what? One use of GitHub Copilot that I've been using like crazy now that I'm recording my TypeScript course is I'm using it to just generate data. So you can say a little comment, an array of, I did this. I said an array of web development podcasts with their hosts and their ratings. And then you have to open up the GitHub Copilot UI, because otherwise it just gives you line by line.
Yeah.
But it gave me an entire array, including syntax being the best one, which is correct. And it's unreal. And then I did like a I did like a really complicated one where I said a list of products with their ratings with a nested list of comments inside of that. And it literally figured it out. It did it. It was amazing. Yeah. And I was like, this is key for doing, you need a bunch of dummy data.
All the time.
And you want it to be like somewhat relevant or somewhat interesting because you're staring at this dummy data all day while you're doing your thing. So
yeah, you don't want it to be FUBAR Baz.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, we get access to whatever. You should have done most handsome podcast hosts sorted by most handsomest, and then
wait. Should we do that? One sec. Hold on. I got a TypeScript file open right now. A list of most handsome web developers. Const most handsome web developers is equal to. Okay, so I'm gonna open GitHub Copilot. Mm-hmm. Synthesizing solutions. Oh my gosh. You're not gonna believe this, Scott.
I actually don't believe it just because of how you're already presenting this.
So it says handsome web devs equals number one, West Boss.
Yep. I believe
it. Age 35. Is that true? Mm-hmm. How old am I?
Yeah, how old are you?
I'm born in 88. I thought I was 34.
Yeah, I'm 36.
It says you're 35, so
okay.
Pete Hunt coming in at number three. Ryan Ooh. Florence, number hey. Four. Michael Jackson, number five. Kenzie Dodds, number six.
Wow. Interesting. Wow. Very interesting. Well, yeah, that's fun. Copilot CLI, I got to say I'm excited for this. I have not used the synthesizing results. Can you maybe, for those of you out here who are like me, who have not used that, can you talk just a quick second about that?
So when you're using GitHub Copilot, it gives you line by line. But if you want a larger thing, it doesn't give you line by line. Sometimes it'll give you a whole function. But if you want a lot of data, you basically type your comment or whatever it is that you want. And then you open up your command palette and just say open GitHub Copilot. And it will show you the 10 solutions that it thinks to give to you.
Based off of your comment?
Based on your comment. And it doesn't change so that if you keep typing something, it's not going to change it. So it's kind of a way to just preview what the possible options are.
Yeah. That seems like way better to me than the just, you know, having it pop up in as a comment completion kind of thing in your UI.
It depends on like what you're doing. I think I think if you're just doing a couple lines here and there, bam, 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 that's what you want. But if you want to be able to maybe review what it's going to give you, that is probably a better approach. Oh, here's another list of handsome web devs. Wes Boss, Chris Corrier, David Walsh, Sean Larkin, Ryan Florence, Adi Osmani, Jake Archibald, Paul Irish, Eric Elliott.
I'm getting snubbed in this one.
Brendan Eich. Yes, I'm sorry to say you're not on this one. Brendan Eich coming in at number 25, kind of, I would have put him higher, honestly.
Could we get my mom's list of the most handsome web devs? okay, let's talk about the next one here, which I'm going to start at the first one on their list that's the most recent, which is Hey GitHub, which sounds like, you know, Hey Siri or anything like that. But this is write code without the keyboard, which it's really relevant for us because we've had a couple folks on talking about repetitive stress injuries in voice coding. So this is GitHub's kind of own Copilot-based voice coding solution. Use your voice to code without spelling things out by talking to GitHub Copilot. So you're not having to be like open brackets, close brackets, you know, making clicks and pops and stuff. You're able to talk to GitHub Copilot. And their examples are really interesting. Get Titanic CSV data from the web and assign it to variable Titanic data. Clean records from Titanic data where age is null. Fill null values from column. Like, this is cool. This is how I think in my brain. And then I have to go in and then write the comment and then type it out myself to say, filter out all of these things from this array. Even though I've written that same filter code 100 times and I know how to write it, this is going to give you the option to talk to GitHub And as long as you know kind of the way GitHub Copilot wants to hear these things, it's going to return back code. And I gotta say, I'm really impressed by this. You know, this is actually would be a really great use case for our last guest. Kenneth had one of those like gamer headset mics with a mouthpiece in front of it. That would be like a really nice thing to have on and just talk. Or even, I guess, AirPods too, if you got them in your ears.
Yeah.
You get a nice close microphone up to your mouth and you just talk to a Copilot. Wow, this is really pretty neat.
Yeah, honestly, I bet that this is... there. All the examples that they have are just adding code. So at what point, how do you edit code with that, you know? Like, how do you change something? Because remember, we had, what was his name? We had him on, we talked about it, and he's like, go back to, he basically had little stoplights over every single syntax, every bracket, every word, and then you could just jump around to there. But I bet if we're going to eventually get to some sort of accessible voice to code, I bet that it has to include some sort of AI in there.
Yeah,
and this seems like it might be it.
There was an episode number 481 of Voice Coding with Pokey Rule, which I believe, it wasn't our first Supper Club. That was like pretty early on in our Supper Club.
Yeah.
So that was the really cool episode. If you want to hear what the like really awesome, intense world of voice coding is like. Yeah, it does. I wonder like how much of this is like one interpreting your text as comments and then using those comments to then generate the code. But two, I wonder also how much of it has to be context aware of what you're doing already, what exists on the current page. And like you said, what is that editing experience like? Or is this just generating code with your voice? Either way, pretty darn cool development.
Yeah. Next one we have here is GitHub Blocks. This is kind of cool because it's going to allow you to add custom interactive blocks into GitHub. So you think like probably the simplest example is you have a README and you want to be able to put some sort of interactive table or chart or even if you had like a color picker and you wanted to be able to show how it works or show someone how to generate something, being able to embed interactive stuff into your actual your README or into a like a build. Maybe if someone were to you have a bot that runs a build on a pull request and you have some information that needs to be outputted, right? This is really cool because you'll be able to do that type of stuff with it. Scott, you said you've been actually had access to this before it was even announced.
Yeah. As a GitHub star, Wes, I get access to all this stuff really pretty early. They let you preview it. They give you a little presentation on it, or they have chat rooms where you can go in and you know, ask questions about it and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember it being presented as kind of like a big deal. But at the time, I didn't necessarily get it as much as I get it today, where like even just the tagline here, READMEs don't have to be static. That right there should be the selling point here. We all create READMEs that are this or that. But again, READMEs aren't static. And what we end up doing is we end up creating, not that this is a tool for isolation development, but we end up doing storybooks to document or really deeply interactive examples to document our components. And we live in this world where you're just creating little widgets and components. And now we can create rich and interactive repositories directly in our code base without having to spin up an entirely second website just to show that kind of stuff off. And I think that's really pretty neat.
You know, one thing that GitHub rolled out recently that's not on this list is the new GitHub code search. I was like a beta tester for it for 6 or 7 months, and I was using it like crazy. And now they've rolled it out. I think they might even have some more stuff coming down the pipe, but being able to search all of GitHub in super fine grain control is amazing. I use it all the time. If I'm like, I don't know how to use this API, or I want to know how are other people using this specific method, I can do that. Or somebody tweeted the other day, does anyone have an example of a GitHub repo that uses, that's built in JavaScript and uses four tabs, or sorry, no, uses four spaces as a tab. And I was just like, all I did was just go on GitHub and say, type JavaScript file editor config. And then I searched for the config that would show that. And I just replied immediately. And they're like, how did you know that? And it's like, just GitHub code search is a superpower to be able to get those things up and running.
Yeah. What a just a tremendous platform. And if I remember when Microsoft bought GitHub and so many people were freaking out about it. And now here we are with what is very clearly the best GitHub that we've ever had. The best GitHub features. And it doesn't really seem to be slowing down at all.
No.
Holy cow.
Even I also think a really cool use case for GitHub code search soon will be how many people are using container queries.
Yeah,
you know, and you could be able to maybe chart the how many container queries are going up, or what's the most common container query size, or how are people using like those kind of like basically data science on top of how are people coding. Google had a code search years ago and they shut it down, and there has never been anything other than the web archive every year for us to like dig into and learn these things ourselves.
You know what it sounds like to me, Wes? It sounds like some really great potential syntax exploration episodes where we dive into some fun stuff. I'm totally in. That sounds like a great time. We had so much fun talking about the Web Almanac stuff. I feel like I could just really love it.
We haven't even dipped into the JavaScript stuff yet. We'd still have more to get through. I enjoyed those very much. Yeah.
By the time we finish the 2022 Web Almanac, it's going to be the 2023 one. All right. Next up that we had here is the collaborative workspaces, which is a really interesting concept. They describe it as, I love this, they have like the stages for each of these, like where they're at, works in progress, they're released, whatever. This is described as a napkin sketch, not just like an explorer. It's a napkin sketch, which we all have done napkin sketches. They're some of the best times you ever think about something. It's one of the reasons why I keep a piece of paper or a digital piece of paper handy at all times, just for when you want to start writing stuff down. And this is really super cool. I would imagine this video that they have here of showing this working is probably... it's probably just faked, but who knows with them.
It says right above it, using Visual Studio's Live Share extension.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if like how much of the features they're showing off in general are like actual features or if they're like they imagine them to be like. Either way, it has like a column that says session details, participants, shared servers, shared terminals, contacts. So you have all the people, if they're available, they have like if they're on break or if they're green, if they're there, red, or they're on do not disturb. It has little multiplayer tabs to show who's typing where. It shows it's really fun because it's talking about like, how do web developers work in the same team, the same code base, the same project? And they have a nice little diagram how people are working
so good.
In their search. Yeah, all of these little websites are so good. They got to have besides having a team to develop these features, they have somebody or some team out there that is making these little exploration websites look so good. What's going on with that? It's just incredible. Between this and some of the other tools that we've seen in this episode, man, being able to collaborate on a code base in about a year or two is going to look very different than it looks right now, regardless if you're using this or whatever. And that to me is exciting.
Next one we have here is GitHub Copilot for your own code base. This one's kind of interesting, is they want to be able to give Copilot suggestions that are in line with the idioms and the formatting and everything that you use with your own code base. How they do this will be very interesting because people do not trust AI scanning your own code base. So I'm very curious to see how they will. Oh, they have a whole paragraph here. In the machine learning literature, the key concept is a retriever, a precompiled index that allows to quickly look up data items, et cetera, et cetera. So they will probably have to run it entirely on your computer. We'll see how they do that. There's like the technical, and then there's the people are going to freak out and not actually read. Read that is like they're stealing your code. Like this 100% for sure is going to happen. People are going to lose it. So they have some, certainly some work cut out for themselves.
They should, to get people to trust it a little bit more, Wes. And this is a free tip for you, GitHub, if you want to use some of my star power here. Yeah. Instead of calling it a retriever, they should call it a golden retriever, because everybody loves golden retrievers. They do.
It's true.
Very trustworthy.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like a golden retriever? All right. Next one of these things is from the GitHub Copilot Radar. And this is basically like navigating your code. And they say it's jump to definition on steroids, which to me personally sounds really great. You know, just being able to get where you want to get isn't always slow, but it's not always super fast. And even now with like VS Code, when you click through the function, sometimes it just takes you right to the TS types instead of the actual function. And other times you're doing a, you know, command T, you're looking for symbols, you're looking for files, you've got to figure out based on like context where you are and what you're actually trying to get to. And sometimes you have things name the same things. So this thing says it combines static analysis with Copilot's AI. So it knows what you're talking about in any given file. And if then you go to look for something else in relation to that file, it's going to present you with more relevant options and better options, even when it's not necessarily as explicit as it is. So it's basically taking that idea of your text editor knowing where you are and where you want to go and putting into it with some AI to help you get there in a more meaningful way.
Pretty much all of this is just add AI and machine learning.
Yeah. Hey, you like your thing? We put AI in it and now it's even better.
Yeah, this is something that's been around for a while, is the GitHub Copilot Labs, where you give it a hunk of code and it will try to spit out a human readable explanation of that. And in my experience, it's always been fantastic. You could just basically, you could take a huge loop which with regexes inside of it and incrementing and all that stuff. And it will convert it to text. I don't think that this is never, like, I used it a couple times and said, that's really cool. But like, I've never gone back to it to actually solve any problems other than to just like make people smile and it's a cool demo. Because I don't know, I hate being the guy being like, oh, your code should be readable. But between comments and readable code, I don't think I've needed this. What do you think?
I have not had the need for this. But I also, you know, I think it's a worthwhile thing to have. I think it's worthwhile that it exists. And maybe there's a time where I'm going to be like, oh yeah, that'd be great to have this. But no, I've never really had a situation where this has really made a ton of sense for me. That said, it does seem like an important step. If you can imagine using AI to get code from natural language, to get natural language back into or code to back into natural language, right? Yeah. It does seem like a back and forth, like a you get it for free.
Maybe if I was in like Ruby or Rust or something that I didn't understand
as well,
what was happening, because I don't know what these
learning tool
methods do. Yeah, that's true.
You get a code example, you highlight, you say, what's this do? Remember? What was that one of our syntax live games that we did, where it's like, here's some old syntax. Like, what does this do? You could give it some old syntax and be like, what does this do? That'd be very fun.
Oh, that's their next product, is the GitHub whiteboarding AI, where you upload 3 hours of your face and it will do the interview for you. And it will craft a video of you talking to the interview and get you a seven-figure job at Facebook.
Yeah. I thought you were being honest at that point. And then I was like, oh. Well, and then when you said like the 3-hour video, and I was like, oh no, okay, that's not real. We'll do one last one. And this one will be essentially what we've been saying for the AI for pull requests, where you're just dumping AI into any of the given things. Here's the thing everybody uses on GitHub, pull requests. So let's dump some AI into it and make it even better. This is kind of neat, right? So you often get pull requests. We have to do code reviews. You have to paw through. You have to look at issues. And this says it's helping you review pull requests with AI. See how it makes actionable suggestions for improvements you can just click to accept. Okay, sure. It's like an instant AI-driven code review. That seems really great, especially for, you know, you work in big teams and many times there's people submitting things that don't fit maybe code styles or using a variable that already a function that already exists somewhere else or remaking something. And maybe this is going to step in there and say, hey, have you considered doing this? Or perhaps you'll want to do this instead. Who knows how this ends up looking? It's a work in progress still. It's at that stage. But again, a lot of this is just using AI and they're already given their Copilot, which, you know, in all honesty, functions very well, except for that one time it didn't put me at the top of the handsomest developers. And I gotta say it works. It's going to be an exciting world when some of the stuff to hit the early previews that you can actually use.
That's great. I think we should try to find who from GitHub we can have on the podcast to talk about all of this Copilot stuff, because
look at who's in just about every single one of these Copilot related things. Matt Rothenberg. If you know Matt, or Matt, if you're listening, hit us up. We'll hit up you and see if we can get you on the show.
Yeah, there's gotta be somebody listening, or if not, we'll try to dig them out. So this is some cool stuff.
Future cool stuff. We gotta love it. That's one of my favorite things we do here. We dive cool into future stuff. Cool stuff.
Yeah. Maybe we should just rename the podcast to the Cool Stuff Podcast.
I would like it that actually. That's pretty cool. That's cool stuff. I could do that.
All right. I think that's it for today. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We will catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.